Y'all glad to be in the house of God this morning? Excited to be here. Do want to remind everyone to please pray for the Short family as they experienced a tragedy this week, and they need our prayers, and we need to be lifting them up, and that the Holy Spirit would do His comforting work in their lives. At this time, they need just a special anointing of His grace to fall upon them during this time. So please be in prayer for them. And as we are continuing in our series of prayer this morning, I hope that it's beneficial to you. I hope that your prayer life, if it's not where you want it to be, that by the end of the series of these messages, that it will get you on track. I don't think we'll ever be where we want to be if we're really people of God praying. That we'll be 100% satisfied with our prayer life, but I do think we can have a satisfying prayer life. And that's the goal of this series, if we're engaging in these seven. Prayer is priority. It's important. It was important in the life of the early church, important in the life of Jesus, and it's important for us as well. And so this morning, before we get started in looking at Matthew, I want to read a psalm. So if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to read Psalm 100. This will get us in a mindset of how we are to come before God and to be ready to hear from Him. You ready? Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with what? Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is, His steadfast love endures, and His faithfulness to all generations. Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful that we have the opportunity to come into Your house this morning to worship You, to lift You up, to sing praises unto You. And Lord, we have an opportunity to hear from Your word now. As we look at passages of Scripture and we see the privilege that we have in praying, Lord, I pray that You would do a work in us. And I pray that we would grow in this area. Lord, I do understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing Your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in His name that I do preach. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 9. Over this next few weeks, we're going to be dissecting this prayer. Now, in Luke's gospel, we are told that the disciples come to Jesus and they ask Jesus, they say, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. Many times, you know, some people may say, well, you know, you don't really need to learn how to pray. I mean, prayer is just talking to God, just talk, just whatever, you know, just talk. But there are some ways that we can do it incorrectly, and there are some ways that we can do it that will enhance our time of prayer. When the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, he didn't say, you don't need to learn how to pray. No, he actually taught them how to pray. Now, he taught them a prayer. Now, it is okay for us to repeat this prayer. We often do that, right? Sometimes we can pray it all together as a church. Many sports teams will pray it together. You'll hear it prayed many different times, many different places, situations. So it's not bad that we just pray this prayer. But Jesus is not expecting us just to pray this prayer as we pray. Like every time we pray, we just say these exact words. He is setting a pattern for us to pray. And so as we look at this, it's often called the Lord's Prayer. It's really not His prayer. I call it the Kingdom Prayer. I think it's a prayer for His kids, and that we are praying for His kingdom. And so as we look at this morning, I want to look at two ways that we're going to pray and think about this is this. We're going to seek His presence in prayer and seek His purpose in prayer. That's the two we're going to look at this morning. So look at your neighbor and say, we're going to seek His presence and we're going to seek His purpose. Okay, that was not bad, but I think we can do this a little better. You ready? So look at your other neighbor and say, we're going to seek his presence and we're going to seek his purpose. Okay, that was much better. In Matthew 6, verse 9, it begins with, it says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now we're just going to look at those two verses of this prayer right now. Now if you have your Bible out, I want to encourage you to write in it. And I would underline the word Father, and then I'd underline the word kingdom. I'd circle the word our, okay? We see two things about this prayer in this introduction to this prayer. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. So we know that God is, in this prayer, addressed as Father. He is our Father, and he is also a king. Because in order to have a kingdom, he has to be a king. So he is Father, and he is king. But he's not just Father and king. He's our Father and king. Now, why does it say that? Why did Jesus say our Father? If you read this prayer, it's in the plural pronouns, us and our. What's going on here? Here's what I believe is going on. I believe that Jesus is when he's teaching his disciples, by saying our Father, he is including them into his family. Because Jesus is the Son of God. He loved the Father. He is the only begotten Son of God. And the Bible refers to Jesus not only as our Savior and as our Lord and as our God, but also as our elder brother. That Jesus is the one who has provided the access, the way for us to even approach the throne of God the Father. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, it says, for he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified, who is the one who sanctifies? Jesus, through his blood. Who are the ones that are sanctified? Us, the believers. So he who sanctifies and those of us who are sanctified, we all have one source, or we all have one Father. And that is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. And so when we think about our prayer and we pray to our Father, in order to call him Father, we must be born into his family. And the only way that we can be born into his family is to be born again of the Holy Spirit. And the reason why we can be born again through the Holy Spirit is because of what Jesus did on the cross. And so Jesus, when he died on the cross for our sin, the chastisement or the punishment was laid upon him. He took our punishment. And when he rose from the grave, he defeated death, hell, and the grave, securing the victory. And everyone who places their faith and trust in Jesus is forgiven of their sin and adopted or bought or birthed, whatever you want to use. The Bible uses all of those terms. And we were born into the family of God. We are now sons and daughters of God. Isn't that good news? And so, when we pray our Father, we realize that we are talking to a personal God who loves us, cares for us, and when we pray to him, he hears us. Some of you may think, I don't know if God even hears me when I pray. He loves his children. He is the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. And he said, I know my sheep. Sheep know me. I know them by name, he said. How many of y'all believe that when you call out to God, he knows your name, if you're a believer? That's good. Now here, John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become what? Children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In 1 John 3, 1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. So if you are a child of God, you have the right to come before his throne as a son or daughter because of what Jesus did. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus, if you've never trusted in him, then you don't have that right to approach his throne as your father. Because in order to be part of the family, you have to be born into his family. You have to be born again. And once you're into his family, now you can call him Father. Now this morning, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I've got good news for you. Because he's invited you to repent so that you can enter into the family of God. Amen? If you are a sinner in need of a Savior, then guess what? You are in good position this morning to be saved, redeemed, set free, and birthed into his kingdom. But if you are self-righteous and holier than thou and think that you have never sinned and you have no need for a Savior and you don't need Jesus, then he didn't come to die for you, to save you. Why? Because he said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He can't save someone who doesn't realize they need to be saved. He said, the well don't need a physician, the sick do. So I came to seek and to save that which was lost. So this morning, if you don't know Jesus and you realize you're lost and you need to be saved, then Jesus came this morning and he comes to seek and save you to give you eternal life through his grace. Amen? But not only is he Father, he's King. He's King. He has a kingdom. Now the only way that you are a citizen of a kingdom is to be born in that kingdom. You have to be born into it. So as Jesus was talking with a Pharisee named Nicodemus, he tells him in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is what? Born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. If you want to enter into the kingdom of God, then you must be born again. You're born into the family of God, and you're born into the kingdom of God. You must be born again. I would ask you this morning, has there been a time in your life when you have realized that you have sinned against a holy God, and you've called upon him and asked him to save you from your sins? If not, this morning, we're going to encourage you to do so. Because with that, once we realize that we've been born into his family, and now we're sons and daughters of God, we've been born into his kingdom, we're citizens of God, that gives us the attitude of confidence. We can come boldly before the throne of God. Why? Because we know he loves us, cares for us, and he wants to hear from us. How many of you all are parents? Raise your hand. How many of you all enjoy speaking to your children? Okay. A good father, good relationships are built on good communication. If you want to destroy a relationship, And if you want to break off a relationship, one thing that you can do to end it is to stop speaking. You stop talking, that relationship will be hindered. If we want a vibrant Christian life, we've got to have prayer. If you want to thrive in your walk with God, you have to have prayer. And you need to have specific, special times of prayer. Now, I know the Bible tells us, pray without ceasing. So we should always be in a mindset of prayer. But as we read through the scriptures and we see Jesus' example, as he would often go to a quiet place and pray. This week, one of your homework assignments, one of your challenges, one of your action plans is this. Would you set aside a specific time to meet with your Father and your King? And can I give you a couple suggestions? Get where you're not going to be distracted, whether that be in a room or in your vehicle, and turn your phone off. Mute it. Get it away. Don't be trying to pray with the phone in your hand. Okay, because you're going to get distracted. And seek his presence. Seek to speak to your Father, because one, he cares for you, he loves you, he provided a way for you to commune with him, and he wants to hear from his children. The King wants to hear from his citizens, and we are to seek his presence daily. So what would happen if we actually made a concentrated effort to have quality time with God every morning, and every morning we began seeking his presence? Now, I know that might mean you have to get up 30 minutes earlier than what you normally do, but I guarantee that 30 minutes will be well worth it, because we get to commune with the Most High God. We have confidence when we come because he is our Father. We have confidence because he is King. And as King, he is a ruler over all. That should help us not stress out so much. Should it not? He is sovereign. He is Lord. He knows all things. We get to speak to our Father. Our Father, who is in heaven. He's in heaven. He is above us. He is sovereign. He is Lord. Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. There is a reverence that we need to have when we come before God. Not only do we come before God in confidence, but we need to come before God in reverence. Hallowed be your name. You don't need to approach God just any old way. Now let's think about a courtroom. If you are in a courtroom and you're standing before a judge and you're going to speak to that judge, how must you address that judge? Your Honor. And if you don't approach the judge appropriately, you can be held in contempt. There is protocol. There's a way you act and the way that you don't act. There's respect that must be given to the office of that judge. Your honor. And even before you approach the bench, you have to ask permission. May I approach the bench? Your honor. No one would go into a courtroom and go, "Yo, big guy in the black robe." That's disrespectful, and that will get you thrown out. When you come before your Father, don't just come flippantly. Don't come, "Hey, big man up there. Yo, heavenly pops." You need to come with reverence and respect, because he is your holy Father and he is King. He is the source of your life, the giver of your breath, that if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be able to breathe your next breath, that he holds your future right there in the palm of his hand. He is the one that died. He sent his son to die for you so that you might be forgiven. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so we have the privilege to pray because of what Jesus has done. And when we enter his courts, we come with reverence and we say, Father, our Father who is King of all. And we come with a reverent heart. Just like we should give reverence and honor to our parents, we should honor our Father. Why? Because holy is his name. Sanctified is his name. Set apart is his name. There is no God like our God. There is nothing like him. Jeremiah 10:6 says, there is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. 1 Samuel 2:2, there is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Do you see, when you get into the presence of the Lord, you're approaching your heavenly Father who is above all, holy. Seek his presence. Give him praise. 1 Chronicles 17:20, O Lord, there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. It was God who rescued the people out of the bondage of Egypt. He said, it was my right hand and my outstretched arm that delivered you. It is God who does all the miracles. It is him that provides life. It is our God, Jesus, who stepped out of heaven and humbled himself and took on flesh and lived a sinless, perfect life so that we might be saved. It was our God, Jesus, who went to the bloody cross and was pierced with rusted nails, and his blood poured down the cross of Calvary, and they put his body in a tomb. And on the third day, it was our God, Jesus, who rose from the grave, securing death, hell, and the grave. There's no one like our God. He is worthy to be praised. Holy is your name. So I don't know how to pray. I don't know where to begin. You start right here. Seeking his presence. Lifting up praise. And standing in awe of who he is. For he is God. And there is no other. Amen. And not only do we seek his presence, we also need to seek his purpose. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you see that? Your kingdom come. He's a king. He has a kingdom. We're praying for his kingdom to be accomplished. Notice what it's not saying first. Me, but your. Prayer is not a means to manipulate God. It is a means by which we are conformed more into his image. As we're seeking his presence and we're giving him honor and respect and praising his holy name, then we're getting our agenda straight and the purpose for which we live in line with his purpose. Your kingdom come. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? I'm going to talk about at least three areas that means. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said what? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. There's at least three aspects to the kingdom coming. First, I say that it applies to the external sphere of God's grace here on earth. That when Jesus came, all through the Gospels, and you'll even see it in the book of Acts as we look through the book of Acts, is that when Jesus came, he came and preached the gospel, the good news, that's what gospel means, good news, of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. What's the good news of the kingdom? That the Messiah has come to take away the sins of the world. And so the gospel of the kingdom is the good news that the church preaches week in and week out, that there is salvation offered in the name of Jesus. Amen? And so one thing that we need to be praying for as people of God, as sons of God, as daughters of God, as citizens of the kingdom, is for his gospel message to spread throughout the world. And that we need to pray for the preachers to rightly preach the word, the missionaries to go to the world, that the gospel would flood the earth, and that people from all tongues, tribes, and nations would call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? So we need to pray for the advancement of the gospel, that souls will be saved. Now, sure, we are particularly concerned about the people that we know here in Montgomery County or Bath County or surrounding counties. We're concerned about people in our families, as we should be. So we pray for the salvation of our friends, our family, people that we work with. I wonder how many of you daily are praying for the salvation of souls. That the gospel would penetrate the hearts of unbelievers. What are we praying for, the advancement of the gospel? Praying for our church to continue to advance the gospel. Praying that we'll always be a church centered on trying to share the good news of Jesus. Praying that people all across the world would hear the gospel. Praying for missionaries that are in heavily Islamic nations, where they are secretly serving the Lord and risking their lives to bring the hope to people. So one area that we need to be praying is for the gospel advancement. God, may your gospel go out and save and redeem souls. Not only should we be praying his kingdom be accomplished through the preached word of God throughout the world, but it's also an internal kingdom that we're praying about coming. An internal kingdom. That as Jesus is king over us and he rules over us, that we submit to him, and that we become faithful, obedient citizens of the kingdom, and we let the kingdom of God now dictate our life, and we operate now under a new rule and law, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ according to his word. So we can, because it's not about just a physical kingdom. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. So what's he doing? He's saving and redeeming people. And then he's trying to sanctify. He's working on and sanctifying us who know him to be more like him. That we're his representatives on earth. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, pursuing righteousness, walking in righteousness because he has made us righteous, walking worthy. As Paul would often say, walk worthy of the calling in which you have been called. Walking in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This ought to be ways that we live. When Paul was writing to the Christians in Philippi, he says this, brothers, join. Now watch what he says. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, listen to the sad reality of what was going on here. For many have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame with mindset on what? Earthly things. Watch what Paul's doing. He's shifting our focus on what's really important. Those who went astray started indulging and making their life about all of their pleasures. But he says this, look at this next verse, verse 20. But our citizenship is where? In heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. He says, we are to be people who are transformed by the power of God, and our lives are now kingdom focused rather than worldly focused. So that makes me ask a question to myself. Am I kingdom focused in the way that I live? Am I investing as much time into pursuing the things of God as I should be? Do I make my life a kingdom focused life so that whatever I do for God's glory? Am I focused on living out his kingdom? Do I act that way at work? Do I witness? Do I pray with? Do I set an example? Do I parent that way? Do I build friendships that way? Because that's what we're praying. Lord, your kingdom come. Your kingdom be accomplished in my life. May your rules dictate how I live. So the things that you hate, I hate. The things that you love, I love. What you want me to do, I'll do. What you don't want me to do, I won't do. Does that make sense? And his law trumps all laws. Right? We're to be in this world, but not of this world. It doesn't matter how many times that our country legislates sin, it still does not make it right. And if we're ever confronted with this situation, do I obey man or do I obey God? If man's law contradicts God's word, I obey God's word. If man's law does not contradict God's word, I obey man's law. But if there's a contradiction, God's kingdom comes first. And that's how we've got to live, that we have a new rule, a new system, a new order, a new constitution, and we live by that. That's our focus. Lord, what do you want me to do today? How do you want me to live? However you say it in your word, that's how I want to live. So if my mouth keeps causing me trouble, I need to get that under the rule of God, right? I need to speak like a citizen of the kingdom, a son of God. I need to live like him. Now, what else does it do? Lastly, your kingdom come. It also applies to his future kingdom, his future coming, that he is coming again. The Bible is very clear that Jesus is coming again. He's returning. And so as I'm praying, and I'll confess, I don't do this every day. I need to. I know, I'm pastor. If this disappoints you and you think, man, this guy, he's just so unholy, I can't sit under him anymore, then I'll try to find you a holier preacher. But here's the deal. Sometimes I get up in the morning and I oversleep. Does anybody ever oversleep? Has anybody overslept? Anybody had to walk in like MSC or maybe and sign your kid in? We didn't get up. You know, so sometimes right off the bat, you don't get your prayer time in, do you? Anybody ever do that? Is that just me? This is confessional time. Come on. Don't sit there and out self-righteous. No. I always get up and pray. And here's something else I don't always do, but I need to do it. I'm working on this. This series is for me too. It's not just for y'all, it's for me too. Lord, you could come back today. How many of y'all actually think that? Man, I know you think that theologically. But how many of y'all really live that? Because I'd say most of us don't really believe it like we should believe it, because we would live different if we did believe it. We wouldn't say some of the things we say. We wouldn't behave in some of the ways that we behave. We wouldn't act the way that we act. That might even change our behavior a little bit on the ball field. Because if I am believing, Jesus, you could come back today. So I have one day. You've blessed me with one more day. You've allowed me to have an opportunity to live one more day. Why? Why has he given me breath today? I want your kingdom to be accomplished in my life. I want your purpose to be accomplished in my life. I want to magnify you. I want to seek your presence. I want to seek your purpose. So if I really thought that way, it might change how I do everything. It might change how I go to Walmart. Instead of going into Walmart for just that one item where I'm trying to dodge everybody, where I'm walking in Walmart, oh, I hope I don't run into people, so I have to stop and talk because I got to hurry and get out of this place. Maybe as I walk into Walmart, I'd be like, Lord, is there someone that you need me to talk to today? I don't know. What would that change about how we parent, how we work? Lord, you've given me another day. It's a gift. We are not guaranteed. We're not guaranteed the next breath. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. So how are we going to live that day? Because here's what Jesus, when Jesus was teaching on end times, and in Luke chapter 21, verse 25, he says this. And there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars on the earth, distress of nations, perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. The return of Christ is only joyful for those who are sons and daughters of the King. It will not be a joyful day for those who do not know Christ. And so as long as I'm here, and as long as I have breath, I am praying for his kingdom work to be accomplished in my life and in the lives of people around me. So that means if I've got a family member, I've got friends that doesn't know the Lord, I better be praying passionately for the Holy Spirit to grip their heart. Every member of this church should be praying passionately for Sunday morning services. That God, there's going to be folks that don't know you, and I pray your Holy Spirit would speak and move, that you would take dead hearts and make them alive. We all should be thinking, how am I advancing the kingdom through my life? That ought to be our focus everywhere we go, in our prayer and in our lives, our actions. And so how do we pray, church? How are we praying? Are we seeking his presence in our prayer time? Are we magnifying his name? Do we come with confidence knowing that we are his son or daughter and that we're born into his kingdom and we are citizens of the kingdom? Do we have the reverence for God? And are we obedient to his kingdom to be accomplished in my life, his work to be done in my life, his presence, his purpose? This morning, my prayer is this, is that he would grip my heart, your heart, like he's never gripped it before, with the desire to seek his presence and his purpose, and that every one of us, we'd be living that out every single day. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We thank you that you have granted us access to your throne room because of what Jesus has done. And so, Lord, we come asking, first, Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, that today that you would speak to their heart, that you would let them see how much you love them, and God, that you'd call them out of their sin and into your righteousness. Lord, I pray that we who know you would be people who passionately seek your presence and your purpose for our life. That we would be praying for one another, praying for the church, praying for the work of the gospel, praying for the salvation of those that we love, praying for the work around the world, that your gospel would penetrate the hearts to the ends of the earth. So Jesus, move. Holy Spirit, move. And may we bring honor to the Father, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.